Kof Tes Nissen, Tuesday the 29th of April, Rabbi Sholem Segel, Cars and Kiruv. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by Family Steinberg, Lichvod Simchas and Nesurim of Shoshi Steinberg and Ari Wiesenfeld, the son of our Magid Shir. Mazel Tov to him.
Good morning, Bereshis, Avimori. At the end of this week's Sedra, we have the Parsha of the Megadeth, the person who blasphemed. He blasphemed the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and we know he was told, they put him in prison, and they were told to take him out to be stoned. Then there's a slight interlude in the parasha where the Torah speaks about what happens if a person damages somebody else's animals, property, etc. And then the parasha finishes off, the last couple of psukim, with the carrying out of the instructions to stone this person. And the question is, what's the interlude? Why did the Torah interrupt with the parasha about damaging other people's property? And I think the answer is, it's particularly apt for this time of year, and that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to convey a message. He was saying, you're probably all thinking to yourself, what a chutzpah this person is, Magadev, what a terrible, terrible thing he did. Obviously it's true. But he says, you lose sight of where this all started. Why was he Magadev? Where did this all start? The answer is, Rashi tells us, it started with a bit of a brawl, a disagreement over land, over property. And it escalated, it went to Beis Din, and this person, they didn't paskin in his favor, so he went out and he was Megadeth. Says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're probably thinking it's terrible that he was Megadeth, it's true. But it's equally terrible, the Bein Adam LaChavera aspect, the disagreement, the Dinim Omenos, that has everything to do with me too, says the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and don't lose sight of that. That's the interlude before we go out and punish him. As I said, obviously this is the time, some of the greatest Talmidei Chachomim in perhaps in Jewish history, but at their level, it was a matter of getting the right balance between the two. In this week's Sedra, we also have the mitzvah of Shabbos, the mitzvah of Shabbos and Yom Tov. What I want to speak about today is actually a Shaida in Shabbos. It's a general Shaida. People who are involved in Kiruv have this week in, week out. And that is, what happens when I'm faced with a situation where I want to help my friend, I want to help Kavod Shamayim, I want to help both of them, but I'm not sure whether in truth I am helping them, whether I'm benefiting them, or I'm acting to the detriment, their detriment, and the detriment of Kavod Shamayim. What is that? That's the classic case where a person wants to invite somebody who's a potential Kiruv Krovim, it could be Kiruv Rechokim, whichever one it is, but a potential somebody who I think that the Shabbos meal, let's say a Seder night, will have a very beneficial effect on him. But I also know he's going to drive. What should I do? On the one hand, I want to help him out. On the other hand, I want to help Kavod Shamayim. I want to bring in another person to be Shomer Shabbos. On the other hand, it's going to be at the expense of Chilul Shabbos. What do I do? It's a well-known question. And with the time we got today, I want to speak a little about this question. Because we're limited with time, it'll probably be slightly condensed, but as a share I gave over Yom Tov, but it'll be a slightly condensed version. But first let's limit the Shaila. The first thing is like this. In Russia, this Shaila happened many, many years ago around the time of the fall, relative fall of communism. So there was a massive influx of Russian Jewry who were coming to shul on Shabbos, but they used to come by the metro. They used to come on the underground. And they asked, in those days, they asked Moshe Feinstein whether people should object. And Moshe said, no, leave them alone, because he says it's better they should have a shaykhus to Yiddishkeit, and especially on top of that, it's not clear they're doing any malacha anyway, it could be it's a shayla only of Zilzul Shabbos. He said, leave them, let them be. And this psak was echoed years afterwards by Rabbi Eliashiv and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. This I read in somebody who was involved in Kiruv in Russia. And he said, it's because you can be passive, there's no mitzvah hecheach techeach samisech, if you're actually going to cause more damage than anything constructive. So he said, let them be, you're not the chuyuv to say anything, and with time, the post can say, with time, when you feel the time is opportune, gradually introduce them to the various halachas of Shabbos, and gradually let them gravitate towards the life of Shemira Shabbos. That's quite clear. But the shaila is, that's when I'm doing something passive. I'm just standing back. Can I actively give somebody an invitation for a meal on Shabbos if I know they're going to drive? Now again, Ramosha, let's clarify again. Ramosha Feinstein writes in a teshuva. He says, if it's impossible for them to get to you without being Mechalel Shabbos, you're inviting somebody who lives up in Manchester, so he's going to drive down on Shabbos, there's no way he can get there without being Mechalel Shabbos, then he says you'd be a mesis to eraisa. People think of a mesis as somebody who seduces others into serving avodah zarah. That's true, but he says mesis is much sort of far. It encompasses many, many more such situations, such as a person seducing others into doing any aveira. It may not be chayav misas basin for it, but it's an issur d'oraisa in Ramosha's opinion. I'm not saying everyone agrees with Ramosha on that, but that's the way he views it. So if you invite somebody to come for a meal, and there's no way in the world you can get there without being mechallel Shabbos, then in effect what you're doing is you're encouraging him to be mechallel Shabbos, and there's no heter whatsoever as far as Ramosha is concerned. What we are talking about is the common shaila where a person could walk. Perhaps you could argue they could even take come by bicycle. You've got the Ben Ishchai with Mate bicycles on Shabbos, at least in certain situations. So maybe, again, it's not the accepted psak, but he can walk. So he can walk. But I know full well as he knows, that he's going to drive, whether it's because of laziness, whether it's because he simply just doesn't appreciate what Shabbos is as of yet. Can I invite him or not? This enters the realms of the shayla of last week's sedra, lifnei lo sitei mirsha. So let's go straight to the heart of the issue. There's a gemara in Avodah Zorah which says, minayin shle yeshit adam kosher liayin nazir. How do I know if somebody has accepted upon himself nazirus? And one of the prohibitions of a nazir is he must abstain from wine. He cannot have wine. So how do I know if I give him that I can't give him a cup of wine, says the Gemara, because it says in the Torah, lifnei iver is sitein mechshol. There's an issur d'oraisa to cause somebody to sin. But says the Gemara, let's clarify. That is only where it is, b'shtei ovri denara. Where he's standing on one side of the river, I'm standing on the other side of the river. And I've got the cup of wine. So if I don't give him the cup of wine, he can't sin. But if we are b'chad, if we're standing on one side of the river, in other words, he can get the cup of wine. I just save him the bother, then I'm not over on lifnei iver. I'm not over on lifnei iver if he could have done the issa without me anyway. So at that point, sounds like we shouldn't have an issa of lifnei iver. Generally speaking, this person could get in the car, whether I invite him, whether not. If he wants to get into the car and drive on Shabbos, he could do that.
In any case, he drives on Shabbos.
That could be. We'll come to that possibly later. But the point is, he could do it without me. So therefore, all I've given him a little more of an incentive maybe to drive. But, he could do it without me, so seemingly there's no issue of lifnei iver. The complication comes with the Tosfos and Shabbos. Tosfos and Shabbos, Daf Gimel, says that even when it is b'chad ovra eva denaro, when we're standing on one side of the river, there's still the issur d'rabbanan of what's now known as misayea yedei ovri aveira. What that means to say is, according to some shittas at least in the Rishonim, if they then see a cotton, even just a cotton, who's about to eat treif, they are mechuyev to Mafrishan, said they've got to stop him doing so. Kol shekem, when you're talking about a godel, and kalvachomer ben menosha kalvachomer, that you can't feed somebody the issur, even if they can do it. Kol Yisrael arim zelotzeh, how can you not just stand idly by? How can you actively go out and encourage somebody to do an issur? That's mesayeh yedei ovri avir. That's the issur derabbanan. So that we seemingly do have here. The issue is like this. The grey area is because it's not clear whether everyone agrees with this Tosfos. The Rosh does quote it in Shabbos. On the other hand, the Rosh and Avodah Zorah does not seem to go along with it. In fact, Tosfos and Avodah Zorah does not seem to go along with it. There's a Tosfos in Chagiga which doesn't seem to go along with this. I'll just quote the Tosfos in Chagiga just to give you one example. This is one example where we see some sort of contradiction to this. And that is the Gemara in Chagiga is talking about the issue of teaching the issue of teaching a Goy Torah. So Tosfos says, and the Gemara is speaking about where we get this from. So Tosfos says, well, obviously you're not allowed to teach him Torah because it's lifnei iver sitei mirsha. We know lifnei iver applies even to causing a goy to do an avera. If you give a goy eiver menachai, you've been over on the issur d'oraisa of lifnei iver. So if a goy can't learn Torah, then you can't teach him the Torah because you're being over on lifnei iver. You teaching him means he's learning. So Tosfos says, no, there's no lifnei iver. You know why? Because the goy had somebody to teach him the Torah anyway. So therefore it's chad eva tanara. He could have done it without you anyway. What do you mean? But there's an issur d'rabbanan, I thought. This is one of the kashas the Shai Gesari asks. The answer seems to be, and Be'etzem it's a shach. Be'etzem it's a shach. He just doesn't necessarily speak it out so much, but the shach says like this. The common denominator in every single one of the contradictions to this Tosfos is that they're talking about a goy. We're talking about a yid and his interaction with a goy. What does that mean to say? Let's just take a step back for a second. There's a Sefer Achinuch. In the Sefer Achinuch it says, we know, as I said, that you can't even cause a goy to do an avir. It's an issa d'oraita lifnei eva. I can't give eva melachai to a goy. But the Sefer Achinuch writes, there's another aspect of lifnei eva, and that is giving bad advice. If somebody comes to you for business advice and you give them bad business advice, that's also an issa d'oraita lifnei eva l'sutei mechshav. But the Sefer Achinuch writes, you can't give bad advice to a Yisroel, to a Jew. So the Menachas Chinuch says, I don't understand. Does Lifnei Iver apply in terms of my interaction with the Goy, or does it not? If it does, then it should be also even to give him bad business advice. And if it doesn't, then what's the issue with me causing a Goy to do an Aveira? And I think he needs it Tzorech here. But the answer seems to be, and this, I think many Acharonim say, is that this. There's a major difference between the two types of Lifnei Iver. If I cause somebody to do an Aveira, it's not just Peshat, he's done the Aveira and I'm a bad guy because I caused him to do it. Peshat is, if he couldn't have done the Aveira without me, I become a partner in crime. He couldn't have done the Aveira without me, so I'm a partner in that Aveira. I may not be the Nozir, but I get a chilek in the Aveira of a Nozir drinking the wine. So therefore it makes no difference whether the person doing the Aveira is a Goy or is a Yid. If you are causing somebody to do an Aveira, which they could not have done without you, you've got a chilek in that Aveira, and that makes no difference who it is. However, when it comes to giving bad advice, if I give somebody bad business advice and they act on it, I don't become a partner in that. What's the problem? I'm a nasty guy. I'm responsible to look after other people, and most definitely I shouldn't be going out and giving bad advice, knowingly giving them bad advice. That does not apply to a goy. It may be unethical, it could be it'll cause a chilul Hashem. It could be it's not a thing I should do, but there's no issa d'oraisa of lifnei iver of giving bad advice to a goy. Because that is kol Yisroel arevim zeh lozeh. This issa d'rabbanon of mesayeya yidei over aveiro, where does that fit in? If the person could do the aveiro without me, so I don't get a chilek in this aveiro. I'm not a partner in the aveiro. There's rise to this. I don't become a partner in that aveiro. What's Peshat? Peshat is, how can you stand, as I said, not just stand idly by, how can you not only not stop him from doing the Issa, you actually go and feed him the Issa, you go and give him that cup of wine, so if he wants to take it, let him take it. We'll try and stop him. But you actually go ahead and give him the cup of wine, how could you do that? That is something which only applies to a Yid. It does not apply to a Goy, because when it comes to harming others, indirectly harming others by feeding them with issa which they could have done, that only applies to a Yid. But the Shach takes it one, and this is what's nogea to us. The Shach goes just a step further, and he says, it only applies to a Yid who is shomer Torah u'mitzvos. But when you're talking about a mumar, that's already the other extreme, a mumar, somebody who's thrown off the yoke of Torah u'mitzvos, I am not the issa derabbanon. Very important, the issa derabbanon of mesayeya yidei over avera does not apply, because I'm not responsible. He's not most understand what pshatana is because he's no longer bechalal amisecha. Comes along the Nodeb Yehuda. Oh, the Nodeb Yehuda is bothered by that. He says he's still a yid. So, as I said, most learn we're talking about somebody who's mamash, she's throwing it off knowingly. He's mumal hachis. Let's say he's not bechalal amisecha. But the Nodeb Yehuda says no. He believes what the shach means to say is lav dafka a mumar. It means anyone who is knowingly doing an Aveira, I'm not responsible. There's no issa of Messiah Yedei Ebre Aveira. If he knows what he's doing is wrong, he's doing it bemazed, then there's no problem. So if we come back to our case, it will depend. It will depend. If we're talking about, let's say, a case of Kiruv Kroivim, somebody who grew up from, and he, for whatever reason, we're not coming here to be judgmental, but he threw off the yoke of Torah. See, he knows what he's doing is wrong, then definitely, according to the Nodeb Yehuda, he's doing it b'mezid, there's no issue of Messiah Yedei over Aveira. To call him a mumar, that's already, is quite extreme, and therefore it would be dependent on this, on whether we go with this Nodeb Yehuda or not. The problem is, in many cases, you're dealing with people who arguably are even what you'd label a Tinnik Shenishba. So therefore, you can't even really call them, they're not even mezid, they're not a mumar, and therefore this heta wouldn't help us all the way. On the other hand, according to the Ramah doesn't say like the Shach. He says this Tosfos about whether there's an Issa Darabonon on Messiah Yedei Ubra Avera, it's actually subject to Machlokes Rishonim. And the Ramayin Yeredeil says the Ikar Halacha is like the ones who say there's no such thing as an Issa Darabonon. See, if there's no Issa Darabonon, then we're back to where we started, which means there's no issue of Lifnei Iver whatsoever. Because since he can do the Avera without me, it will be perfectly fine. But again, that's also got a limitation, because in Hilcha Shabbos, the Mogen Avraham seems to say that we pass in the Chumrah, that there is an issue of Meseya Yedei Iver Avera LaHalacha. So this possibility has got limitations, but it's a possibility. Dahainu, again, what's the possibility? That it could be that since we're only dealing with the Issa Darabonon of Meseya Yedei Iver Avera, maybe number one, we don't paskin Meseya Yedei Iver Avera is an issue at all. And even if we paskin that it is an issue, maybe we go like the Shach with an Odeh Yehuda, in which case, in certain situations, we wouldn't have to worry about it. Let's move on to another possible avenue. So let's say that Heta wouldn't work. Let's say there is an issue of Meseya Yedei Iver Avera, and we're talking about somebody who's a Tinuk Shenishbar. What are we going to do then? For this pass, we could suggest another Heta, and that would be like this. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Dalet talks about the Shaila of Chatei Kedish Yizkeh Chavirecho. The case of the Gemara is, my friend, by mistake, he took a piece of dough, stuck it into the oven, and this was on Shabbos, didn't realize what he was doing. He walked away and he's gone. And I come in and I see he's stuck a piece of dough in the oven. If it's left there, it's going to bake. And he's going to be Mechal Shabbos though, right? So the Shogi, he will be Mechal. So maybe I should take out the dough, save his skin. But the problem is, for me to take out the dough, we'll call it an Issa Darabonon. It's actually what we call Chochma, is Rediyas HaPas. Taking it out is an Issa, it's also a Darabonon. So the Shaila is, should I do a minor Issa? An Issa Darabonon of Rediyas HaPas to save my friend from an Issa Daraisa. And the Gemara says, we don't say Chatei Kadesh Yizke Chavirecho. We don't tell you to do that. You shouldn't. So the Gemara, so Tosfos in Shabbos asks, he says, but I don't understand. We've got a Gemara which contradicts this. What's the Gemara? The Gemara says in Gittin, if you've got, let's say, two people who co-own, they have a partnership in an Eved Kanani. And one of them very kindly sets him free. So now this Eved, he's stuck. He can't get married. He can't get married to a Jewess because he's a half Eved. He can't get married to a Shivcho because he's a half Jew already. So he can't get married. But he's got a major mitzvah, Peru Revu, what should he do? He's a half Jew already. So the Gemara, so the Mishnah already says that what we do is we force the second master to set him free. Despite the fact that there's an Issa to Eraisa to set an Eved free. Le'olam b'hem ta'avodah, you're not allowed to set an Eved Kanani free. So ask Tosfos, so why are you telling me to set him free? Because he's got a mitzvah, Peru Revu, so I have to be over on Le'olam b'hem ta'avodah, and the money, well, the money you'll get back, the Mishnah says. But Amaisa, I have to be over on Le'olam b'hem ta'avodah to let him be Mekai in the mitzvah, Peru Revu. Why is that not Chatei Kedesh Yizkeh Chavirecho? So Tosfos gives two answers. Answer number one is, because when we're talking about major, major mitzvahs, a mitzvah rabbah such as Peru Revu, that's seen as such a major mitzvah that we will instruct you to be over on a minor issa, a relatively minor issa, in order to save his skin. Generally speaking, we wouldn't say that. When it comes to a major mitzvah such as Peru Revu, we will tell you Chatei Kedesh Yizkeh Chavirecho. That's one answer. Hold on. The second answer of Tosfos is that there's a difference. Because in the case of the person who put the dough in the oven, okay, he did it by mistake, but he was pesheya, he was negligent. He could have avoided it. So I don't have to sin, I don't have to bail him out, if he could have avoided the whole situation. But in the case of the Eved, it's not his fault. What's he supposed to do? One of his masters set him free. He didn't necessarily ask for it. He's been landed in a situation which he didn't necessarily want. That's for Oynes. If it's Oynes, then we will say Chatei Kedesh Yizkeh Chavirecho. These are the two answers of the Tosfos. So the Shaila brought Lahalocha, the Shaila brought on Shulchan Aruch Lahalocha. What happens if a young girl, she's abducted by, let's say it could be a Jew, but there's an immediate danger if she's not saved today. It's on Shabbos, and if she's not saved today, her whole spirituality, they're going to brainwash her, they'll take her away from Yiddishkeit. So the Shaila is, should I be Mechal al Shabbos to save her, or not? And the Rashba was asked this, and he says not. He seems to say not. It's based on his shet. He disagrees with Tosfos, but we don't pass on that. We pass on like Tosfos, says Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber passes like Tosfos. Why? Because we've got both things here. Number one, it's a mitzvah, Rabbi, to save somebody's Yiddishkeit is a major mitzvah. This is their whole life ahead of them, and their children, grandchildren, all the generations to come. And in terms of, was it her fault? It's not her fault. She was pedantic. She's a young girl. So since we've got both of those answers of Tosfos in place, we can go ahead and be Mechalel Shabbos, even Chilul Shabbos to Eraisa. But if we've got only one out of the two, then you can't do an Issa de Eraisa. But an Issa de Rabbon on the post can say you can. I'll give you an example, a modern day example, which was asked to Rav Shmuel Vosner and Shevet Halevi. He was asked the following Shaila. There was an Avreich who was phoned up by, there were people on a yeshuv, a completely not showing material mitzvahs at all on this yeshuv, and some people, a small group of them, phoned up an Avreich and said, could you please come for Shabbos? We'd like some inspiration, we want to know a little about Yiddishkeit. So he asked Rav Shmuel Vosner, he said, should I go? He seemed to have two issues. Number one, in terms of his own, would it damage him spiritually? And number two, he was worried about tefillah b'tzivah. There wouldn't be a minyan there. So should he go for Shabbos or not? So Rav Shmuel Vosner says, as for the first child, he says, I can't really tell you. He says, if there's a danger to you, then don't go. But he says, assuming that's not an issue, there's no danger to you, he says, you're worried about tefillah b'tzivah, he says, there's no shaila, of course you should go. He says, even if you want to say, let's think about it, of these two answers of Tosfos, do we have a major mitzvah here? Avada. You could be, even if you say just one person, if you inspire one person and he becomes a Baal Teshuvah because of you, what a major mitzvah. And you're talking about potentially a whole yeshuv, an unbelievable mitzvah. Avada, that's a mitzvah rabbah. As for the question, are they peshay or not? He says, no, you could debate that. Maybe you'll argue that they're tzinnik shenishma, but he says, maybe not, it's debatable. But he says, but what are you worried about? You're talking about an Issa Darabonon. Not even an Issa Darabonon, as we'll see in a second. But you're talking about a Darabonon of Tfilah B'Tzibur. He says, you're worried about a Darabonon and you've got a major mitzvah? That's what, you've got one of the two answers to Tosfos, that's enough to rely upon, you should go ahead. He says, especially because in the Stei Chemed writes, this whole thing is only where you're doing an Issa. You're being Mechalal Shabbos for the person. But here where you're being mevatel a mitzvah, or tefillah, he says the Stei Chemed, there's definitely, not everyone agrees with that, the Stei Chemed holds like that. So he says, Avad, you should go ahead. So let's apply it to our case. We're talking about a Shailov Lifnei Iver Derabono. And we're talking about, on the other end of the other side of the scales, we're talking about a mitzvah rabbah. So let's say, if he's a Tinnik Shanishbar, definitely I've got both sides, it's not really his fault. But even if he's not, we're talking about potentially, if I honestly believe, we know that many Baal Teshuvah have said it was a Shabbos meal, that's what inspired them. If I honestly believe that this Shabbos meal could have a positive effect on him, it's a mitzvah rabbah, a mitzvah gedolah. And as we said, I'm going to be doing Issa of Lifnei Iver Derabbanan. Well, we could say, Chatei Kedei Shiyis Kechavirecho. Even if you want to say that there is an issue of Lifnei Iver, and we've already shown that it's not so posh that there is, but even if you want to say there's an issue of Lifnei Iver Derabbanan and Messiah Yidei Ivrei Avera, but arguably you could say, Chatei Kedei Shiyis Kechavirecho. I should be over on Lifnei Iver in order to ultimately to save him, that he should see the light and he should become Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Even if he's a Peshach, according to this, because it's a Derabbanan.
But then you haven't got both denying
of. Yeah, but it's Derabbanan. And that's
Derabbanan.
Because it's Derabbanan. If it would be Lifnei Iver Derabbanan, then there would be something else.
The Kirov is a Suffolk Kirov.
I realize, that's why I said, that's why I said, if you really think that you're going to...
Well, it's fine, to fry Yishu, and he's going to this being car of somebody.
They've asked him to come. The very fact that the person's interested shows there's something there. If he keeps even one more mitzvah as a result of it, it's already its progress. But there's a spark there. Yeah, I was waiting for somebody to ask that. No, that isn't a right. I was waiting for somebody to ask that. Chayle is different because they couldn't have avoided it. This person didn't have to, he doesn't have to be a fryer yet.
No, that's the do with fry, but you're allowed to be mechalel.
The chalel Shabbos to save the person. Because he's a chayre, he couldn't have avoided it. He's sakonas nefoshes, he couldn't avoid it. This person's sakonas nefoshes spiritually, but he can avoid it. Be shown a Torah mitzvah, and I don't have to do this. I don't have to get into the shayre. With the time left, I just want to share with you just one or two other stodim to be matir. There's Rav Shlomo Zalman said, obviously we're talking about he didn't want to stay over. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, he had a shayda like this. Similar but different shayda was like this. He was asked, there was somebody who came, a very, very important individual came to visit him. So the person asked him the shayda. And this person didn't keep anything. But he had, for the time being, he was at least mechabei talmidei chachamim. It was mechabei Torah. So he wanted to know, should he give him food? Because, but he knows he's not going to make brachos, he's not going to, if he gives him bread, he won't wash netilas yadayim. But on the other hand, if he doesn't give it to him, he'll take it as an affront. And then he'll be stained at Yisrael, which apparently is seen as a much bigger issue. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, you should do it. What's the basis? He says, there's no lifnei iver. Because you're doing it ultimately to save him from a bigger issue. There's no issue. Why? He says like this. It's debatable. I don't think I have time to debate the Rai, but you can think about it. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Yeridea, in the halachas of not cutting off one's payers. So there's a halacha there. Obviously we know a man is not allowed to cut off payers. A woman is allowed to cut off at least her own payers. So there's a shayla, can a woman cut off the payers of a man? And there's an issue of lifnei iver. Why is there an issue of lifnei iver? Because the Gemara says in Makkos, the issur of cutting off payers is not just to be a makif. It's not only to cut off payers, it's also to be a nikif. To have your payers cut off, especially if you're actually doing a maisa, you're moving your head to the side for the barber, that's also an issur d'oraisa. So if she cuts off his payers, he may well be the nikif, and therefore it's lifnei iver. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, but what happens if? Let's say a woman for her husband, and the husband says, please give me a haircut, I want you to cut off my payers. He says, and if you don't cut off my payers, I'll do it myself. So she says to herself, look, if he cuts off his payers, he'll be both the makif and the nikif, that's two issurim. If I cut off his payers, at least he'll only be doing one issur, the nikif. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, ulai, perhaps, she should go ahead and cut off his payers. Because ultimately, that's not even Messiah. On the contrary, she's actually saving him from a further issur. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, although Rabbi Kiva Eger says that ulai, I want to say in this case, he says, definitely you can go ahead with it. If you think about it, they're not exactly the same. But I'll give you, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman himself says, but not v'tzori chakro. And this sort of heter, many, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik from Switzerland, he also went along these lines. He said, where the person at home is going to be Mechalel Shabbos anyway. In all probability, he's going to be Mechalel Shabbos more at home than in your house. The truth is, you can't always know that, because for all you know, maybe he was going to sleep for the whole morning, and then in the afternoon just turn on the television and watch the whole afternoon, so he's only done one. You can't be definite, but let's say, he says, you can assume. He says, as long as, this Talmud of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says, as long as it's not, I haven't placed him in a situation where he's got to drive on Shabbos, in other words, I invite him to come before Shabbos, he could walk, then he says, he's happy to rely on that. As I said, it's not absolutely mukhaf, but as I said, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, v'adov v'tzorech hachro. There are another couple of snifim, they point out, there's a Marasham, and there's a Kasav Sofer. One of them says, I think it's this way around, the Marasham talks about, if you are not actually feeding the person the issur, all I'm doing is giving him the invitation. He's driving a car, it's two different things. It's not giving him a cup of wine, then the issur d'rabbanan does not apply. And there's a Ksav Sofer, which the Netziv takes on, and actually the Oracle Aner already says this, in Messiah, it's only an issue if he does it at the time, the two things happen simultaneously. But if I'm giving him an invitation on Erev Shabbos, and he drives on Shabbos, there's no issue Messiah. Not everyone agrees with these extra attainments, but all in all, if you put these all into the equation, we've definitely got a very strong argument to be martyred. And I can tell you, Rav Shlomo Zalman, in a subsequent Teshuvah, he was asked if he doesn't write very much about why, in Chelek Beis, he was asked just a few short shaylos to do with Kiruv, and he said, as long as you offer him to come for Shabbos, in other words, he doesn't have to drive, he says, offer him to stay over for Shabbos, and then you don't have to mention a word, you don't even have to tell him that he shouldn't drive, leave him alone, if he drives, it's not your problem. As long as he doesn't have to drive, that's the main thing. Ramesh Shtambuch allowed this, there are many poskim, but on the other hand, to present a relatively balanced argument, I mean, to have time to, but there are poskim at least reported to have said they disagree with this. For example, Rabbi Yasha was quoted as saying, you won't get a mitzvah through an Aveira. So there are dissenting opinions. I'm not coming to say it's not. So obviously, if you have the Shaila, ask your own rule.